I forgot to do what I meant to do this morning during the worship service. We were singing, and I was enjoying that, and we were having prayers and scripture and everything. I forgot to do what I meant to do this morning. What I meant to do was take my phone out and put it on the stopwatch and time how much of our service we took this morning with music, with the band playing and us singing. I wanted to time it this morning just to give you a real up-to-date, what did this morning service look like? But like I said, I forgot to do it, but I've done it before. I've gone back in the recording and timed it and everything to see how much time. It was about 25 minutes of our morning worship service that we spend in corporate singing. Now, I usually preach for about 35 minutes. So that makes singing the second longest thing that we do in the morning. Now, it's broken up into different sections and everything, I realize that. But when you combine it all together, the thing that takes up the second most amount of time when we're together is singing, corporate singing. Now, as we start our series on worship last week, one of the things that I want us to do is to think together about how does this time that we're together in the worship service, gathered together, corporately worshiping, how does that work, and why do we do what we do, the way we do it? Why does God teach us to worship the way that we do? What parts of the worship service are things that God commands us to do versus things we just prefer to do and we like to do? Like, I don't know that there's any command for announcements, but we need to give announcements. So, you know, there's other things like that as well. But we want to take the different parts of the worship service specifically. Last week we talked about how all of life is an act of worship, but how the worship service is a concentrated, intense portion of our lives that God put in there to give us a time when we are worshiping explicitly, joyfully, together, gathered as a group, like so many other areas of life, how that works. When we have things that we love and enjoy and admire, we love to get together with other people that admire the same things. We like to talk about it. We love to praise the things that we love. So we talked about how all of life was that, but then the worship service is maybe the pinnacle of all of that worship that goes on throughout the rest of the week. So this morning, I want us to take some time and think about singing. Why do we sing? And some of you may have that is a really pressing need in your mind, because you come in here and maybe you're like, I'm just kind of getting through the singing, and I don't really like singing. I don't feel like I have a good voice. It makes me a little bit nervous, but I'll just stand here and either not sing or just sing very softly so nobody can hear. And I'll just endure through the music until we can get to the other parts where I can sit down and be a little more comfortable with it. I fully understand that there are some people in this room that kind of think that way. And I want to take that kind of thinking, and I want to take the kind of thinking that's like, well, I like singing okay. That's what we do. I'm used to church. And I want to take both of those levels and raise them up in your minds so that you are thinking biblically about singing and why do we sing, and so that you see a renewed importance in singing and participating in even singing louder than you do, in singing more joyfully than you do, in possibly being more physically expressive when you sing, for the health of you personally, spiritually, and for the health of our church together. So that's what I want to do this morning. And Ernie got us started off by reading the beginning of Psalm 96, and I hope you will have your Bible open there. Today's message is not going to be an exegetical message like I normally like to preach. It's going to be, in a lot of ways, a topical message. I don't do this very often. But we will look down at Psalm 96 to see a number of the truths that I'm trying to convey to you this morning. So I would love it if you kept your Bible open there to Psalm 96, possibly my favorite psalm in all of the New Testament. I think I preached on Psalm 96 a while back when we were talking about missions. So there's a lot of things in this psalm. But today I want to talk about music and how does that work. And this is a good psalm to talk about because it starts off with, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day." So here we have in the Bible commands for us to sing as God's people. This is words for God's people. They say, sing to the Lord, sing a new song, declare his glory, proclaim his name, his goodness, his mighty acts. All of these things should come out of your mouth in the form of melodies and harmonies and rhythmic, whatever you'd call that, in rhythm. Songs, together, loud, joyful. That's what it's supposed to look like. So here are the things that I want us to think about this morning as we talk. First of all, I want to give you five reasons that Christians should love to sing. Notice I said should. I know that some Christians may not love to sing, at least not yet. But I hope that we'll at least begin to change that attitude if it's there. And maybe you're just kind of ambivalent about it. So I want to change that too. All right, so after we talk about five reasons Christians should love to sing, next we're going to talk about some help for the musically challenged. And then I'm going to try to cast a vision for a joyful singing church together. So let's start off with five reasons that Christians should love to sing, all right? Here's the list that we're going to put together. Feel free to take some notes if you want to, that kind of thing, but they'll be up on the screen. My remote will get it. Here we go, number one. So why should you love to sing? Why should you look forward all week to the time of corporate singing that we have together in the worship service? Reason number one, because it gives you an opportunity to obey God. It gives you an opportunity to obey God. Because we see commands in Psalm 95, come let us sing for joy to the Lord. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Psalm 97, the Lord reigns, let the earth be glad, let the distant shores rejoice. You'll see it throughout there. Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. All over the Bible, we see commands and examples of people singing. Now, one of the really cool things about this is that there are many areas of life when it is not necessarily easy to obey God. And sometimes it may be a little bit obscure as far as how am I supposed to obey God. There are not all that many times that you go throughout the day when you come to a decision and you say, maybe this is what God wants and this is not. Now, of course, moral decisions are like that when the Bible makes clear right and wrong. We do come across those decisions every day. But the vast majority of decisions you make every day are not moral versus non-moral decisions. They're which shoe do I put on first? They're should I brush my teeth first or take a shower first in the morning? They're what clothes do I put on? They're which of the two possible ways I can get to work should I take this morning according to what the traffic report is telling me? There are so many decisions we make every day that just don't make one bit of difference as far as a moral to non-moral decision. And there are plenty of commands in the Bible as well, and we want to obey God's commands. When he says to love your neighbor, we want to love our neighbor, but sometimes we're not sure exactly how to do that. Sometimes that can be a little bit fuzzy in our minds. It's like, well, should I go over and talk to my neighbor right now, or do they have family over and I bother them right now, or is it too late, or should I call, or what? How does loving my neighbor, how does that actually look? And you have to actually kind of work that out and figure it out for yourself. Well, here's a place in the Bible where you can obey God, and it's so easy. There's no question. You don't have to wonder how should I sing. Maybe wonder what octave you should sing in, or should I sing the melody, or should I sing harmony. But most people don't have to worry about those things. You don't even know what those things mean. All it is the music comes on and Shane starts singing and you sing along with him, and then you're obeying God. It's an awesome opportunity for an explicit command that God gives. You sing, okay? I'm singing just like God says. Have you ever thought about it like this? I mean, I think a lot of people think singing is more like a preference type thing. Like, I'll kind of sing if I'm in the right mood and I like the song and the style of music is my way and all this kind of stuff. Have you ever thought about singing as a command? Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. God gives us a command. It may not be comfortable for everybody to follow, but it is clear. So, easy way. You can obey God. What is love for God? To obey his commandments. That's what 1 John says. You want to love God in the most full way that you can? Then obey. Do what he says. Here's one way you can do it. So number one, it gives you an opportunity to obey God. Here's number two. It drills God's truth deeply into your life. I think this is one of the main reasons that God gave a song. Because it is easy to remember songs. You could turn on the radio, I don't care if it's Christian music or secular music, songs that you have known for years and years. You may have not heard a song for years. It comes on the radio and you can sing along with a lot of the words that come on. There's something about music, because it's put to rhythm and it's put to melody, it helps our brains remember it better. And I've heard some theologians say that if you want to affect the theology and the way that the church believes, then change the music. In some ways, our theology, I believe, in a real practical sense, is more affected by the songs that we sing than it is the actual words of Scripture, which can be a detrimental thing. Or it can be a glorious opportunity for the songs that we sing to undergird and to build up and to restate biblical truth. That's why we have such a huge responsibility as a church to make sure that we're singing songs that match the truth of the Bible. You know, this is something that I'm rather picky about myself. I think it's really, really important for a church to sing songs that are theologically accurate, that reflect the truth of the Bible. So when I was coming here to New Song, I was a little bit nervous ahead of time because I didn't know Shane very well. I didn't know exactly what kind of songs y'all normally sing. I didn't know if I was going to have to come in and kind of say, you know, there's a couple songs here that I'm not entirely comfortable with theologically. You know what? Shane does a fantastic job. There's not been a single song we've sang here at New Song Fellowship in the over a year that I've been here that I've had to say, you know, let's not sing that one anymore. Let's not sing that as much. Does a fantastic job of choosing songs that align with scriptural truth. So I want to commend him in that in front of you. We sing good songs, theologically speaking. Now, some of them have a lot of theological content. Some of them don't have as much theological content. But all songs don't have to be a systematic theology lesson. It's good that some of them are, but not all of them have to be. And so we're singing solid songs that help to drill God's truth deeply into our lives. And that's kind of the picture that I want to give. It's like a piece of wood or the ground that you drill a hole in. I mean, have you seen these big auger type things? I mean, it's like a big drill, this big around, and you can rent them from the store. Some people can own them. Of course, you can own them too. But a lot of people rent them because they don't have a normal need for this. And it's got this big two-cycle engine on it. And a lot of times it takes two people, one standing on each side, and the drill is turning and it's digging up the dirt, just drilling down. And then you can fill it with concrete or post holes or whatever you have to fill the hole with. It takes out what's in there and it gives an opportunity for something different to fill it in. And that's what singing God's truth together enables us to do. It takes the world and its philosophy and its thinking and its me-centeredness and its pride and its arrogance, and it begins to take that out of our lives and pull it up just like an auger so that we can pour God's truth back in. You will remember the songs that you sing. We could go back, for those of you that have been in church for a lot of your lives, I could go back and you could even think of different times in your life, maybe the songs that you sang as children. Maybe the songs that you sang 20 years ago, would be different than the songs that we're normally singing today. You can probably remember those songs and those lyrics very well. Maybe not off the top of your head as I'm just asking you to, but if I were to give you a song and start thinking about it, I mean, anybody, what's an old song an old praise chorus type song, like Sanctuary? Y'all remember this song? Did y'all used to sing this a lot? I mean, this is, Lord, prepare me to be a pure and tried in. Yeah. Now let me take a chapter of the Bible and start reading it to you and leave out words and see if you can fill them in for me like that. Because we remember songs. And the awesome thing is that God designed, he put his truth to music for us. That's what the book of Psalms is. That's what Moses' song, that's what Deborah's song is. That's what we see in the book of Revelation as we sing God's truth back to him. We rejoice in the greatness of what he's revealed in Christ. So singing is good for us because it helps us to know God better. It helps us to know his truth better. It helps us to know Christ better. There are very practical reasons that singing is a great thing, and you should love it. You should rejoice when we sing about the great truths of the gospel, about his redemption and his mercy, about how Jesus conquered the grave, like we sang this morning, how he can move mountains. These kinds of songs should move you internally, emotionally. That's where I skipped ahead to number four. Okay, you got a preview of it anyway. Number three, it multiplies your joy. Song multiplies your joy. How do I mean that singing multiplies your joy? If you're not a singing type person, you say, well, I don't really like singing that much. It doesn't multiply my joy. Well, I said this is the reason you should like singing, right? Singing multiplies our joy because it gives vocal expression to what is going on in the inside of a believer in Christ who has trusted Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. They've said, I'm a sinner. I believe the gospel. I believe that Jesus died on the cross as a substitute for my sins. I believe that he rose again, and I'm giving my life to him as my Savior and Lord. There's thankfulness that goes on there. There's a submission that goes on there. There is a surrender that goes on there. One of the things that I think C.S. Lewis helps us to see so clearly in a couple of his different writings, particularly he writes one called Thoughts on the Psalms and other writings, is that when we love and enjoy something, that enjoyment is not complete until we've expressed it to other people. So if you love a certain brand of truck, if you want to park on Chevy Row out here in a parking lot, okay, well, because we want to be an inclusive church, we'll allow a Ford if that's what you have. No, if you love your favorite brand of truck, you want people to know about it. You like telling people about it. Your favorite NASCAR driver, favorite football team, favorite kind of food, favorite restaurant. Some of you love to tell me how much you love Panera Bread, and I can't understand why in the world you do. The bread, it's not good to me. I'll eat it, but it's not my favorite. But some of you love it, and you love to tell me about it. You know, you love to tell people about the things that you love. And what Lewis said was that's not something extra that comes after the enjoyment of that thing. But when you sit down at your favorite restaurant, maybe Chick-fil-A, and you're like, man, this is good food. Man, I love waffle fries. That your enjoyment of the waffle fries is actually incomplete until you have expressed it out of your mouth. That your expression of your love for waffle fries completes your enjoyment of said fries. You ever thought of it like that? So that if you love God, and if you are thankful to Christ for what he's done for you, then your enjoyment of that, your personal joy, is kept down at this level because you haven't said it out loud yet. You have not fully enjoyed Christ and what he's done for you until you've talked about it, till you've rejoiced about it vocally, till it's come out of your mouth. And most of you might be very uncomfortable saying the same kinds of things that we say in songs together just out in your normal everyday conversation. Now, we can talk another day about whether that ought to be different, and probably at some level it should be. But even if you're scared to death to go around and tell other people that you believe in Jesus and that you love him and that you're trying to follow him in your life, even if in every other area of life you're scared to talk and to communicate that to people, I've got good news for you. We've got a place that you can do it. And we all do it together. So you don't have to feel like you're out on a limb all by yourself. We come together and we sing and we say these great things about Jesus and about his mercy and his grace and his incredible power and majesty before his throne. We get to come before his throne giving him praise. We get to do it together. And if you were just to sit back and watch the glory of God, your joy would be just a fraction of what it really should be, as if you will actually open your mouth and give praise to it. Express your enjoyment of it. And you know what that does, actually? It spirals in an upward fashion so that you enjoy something and then you praise it. And then because you've given articulation of that, the next time you eat at that restaurant or the next time you enjoy that thing, what I find in my personal experience anyway is that I seem to enjoy it even that much more. And then I praise it again. And it increases it's an upward spiral of enjoyment and joy that God has for us in our life that comes through the very simple act of singing songs together. Your joy can be multiplied if you will sing with us. So that's number three. It multiplies your joy, but not only does it multiply your joy, it can multiply the joy of other people. This is one of the reasons that we sing in groups. It multiplies the joy of others. And this is one of those places that if you're not a music person, that this one can be especially important for you. Number four. Sean taught an evangelism class a little while back. Did I scare you? Sorry about that. Sean taught an evangelism class a little while back. Sean loves doing evangelism. He will go out to the boardwalk. He will stand on the handrail, and he will preach out loud to nobody in particular and wait for people to come on and listen to him. Now, I would be scared to death to do that, and most of you would as well. I probably should sometime just to make sure that I've done it. But he loves evangelism, and he wanted to teach a class to help other people learn evangelism. Think about how much that encourages Sean and blesses him. If he knew that you were deathly afraid to share the gospel with someone, but he saw you going out on a limb and trying it. Think about how excited he would be and how much he would be encouraged just because you were stepping outside of your comfort zone. So here, when we're gathered in church, when we're talking about music, let's say you are somebody that's, I don't really feel comfortable singing. I don't really like it. I don't feel like I get a lot out of it. And probably a lot of people around get that feeling. I mean, you look around, especially the way our seats are turned now, which I absolutely love, how you can look around and see other people worshiping. You look around and see the people that have their hands up week in and week out and just come in here and love worshiping through music. And you see other people that are just more casual about it. And you see other people that, you know, it seems like they're just kind of waiting to get through this part of the service. Think about if the people that were just waiting to get through this part of the service next week, if you came in and suddenly you were standing up engaged, like, I'm actually interested in trying to do this. And you were giving it a try. Then other people look around, man, look, that's awesome. You're going to encourage other people by singing along with them. And then if you're somebody that's like, yeah, just laid back about it, I'll do it. Yeah, okay. No, I'm not comfortable with putting hands up and all that kind of stuff, closing eyes. I'm not comfortable there. But think about if one week suddenly you actually were worshiping in spirit and truth the way the Bible tells us to, and you were moved and you said, you know what? God's truth is amazing, and I've just got to lift my hands. And people might look around and see, and wow, look at that. God's spirit is at work among us. And so kind of the same way you have an upward spiral of joy in your own life is that we can work in that upward spiral in the life of our church as well. If the people that don't sing would start to sing just a little bit, and the people that sing just a little bit, they would start to sing a little bit louder and with a little bit more joy. And the people that go all out with it every week, you just keep doing what you're doing. And we're encouraging one another through our actions. You're seeing each other worship. We're seeing, maybe you come in one morning and you feel spiritually dead. You feel disconnected with God. But you stand around 10 or 15 other people that are worshiping. You say, man, God is at work here. Maybe that is enough to affect you and to bring you into some kind of a sense of worship. And God, reconnecting with God in that time of worship. So your worship and the way that you act during the singing time can actually greatly encourage other people and multiply their joy as well. Here's number 5. It stirs the water of your soul. Man, there's something about music. We love music. A lot of us do. I used to listen to music a lot more than I do now. I guess that's what happens when you get older, right? You have a job. You don't have as much time. No, that's not what, I still love music, I just don't have as much time to listen to it. I have a short drive to work, so maybe that's why I don't have enough time in the car to listen to it. I don't know, I don't listen to as much music as I used to, but I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. Man, music does something to us that nothing else does. I mean, you watch people I just kind of have in my mind hippies dancing, like, I don't know how they dance. I must have seen a video of it recently or something. It's like they don't care about anything. They're just moving around the way people danced in the 60s and 70s. It's like they didn't care about anything else. And some of y'all must have used to dance that way from the way you're laughing. I don't know. Music does something to us that we don't. Here's another place that I saw it. A YouTube video that I saw recently that took one of the last scenes in one of the Star Wars movies where they're like walking up and getting their award ceremony or whatever. I don't remember which movie it came from or anything. But there's great grand music playing in the background of it. And what this YouTube clip did was it took the background music out and it was just silent. And you could hear the footsteps as they walked down the aisle and everything, and they were just staring at each other, and it was so awkward. oh my goodness, it was like, you were almost like, I've got to turn this off because I feel so awkward, even though I'm just here looking at it on the screen myself. It doesn't feel right without music. Music expresses some of the deepest sorrow in life, some of the greatest joy in life, some of the most difficult to understand things. This is why music crosses so many different boundaries that other things in life seem like they have a hard time crossing. Music stirs us, and music can stir you if you'll let it, and if you'll engage in it, if you'll come Sunday mornings with an expectation that God is going to do something amazing in our time of singing together. In a few minutes, we're going to sing 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. I started off, I was just going to say it, but I can't say it. I've got to sing it. It doesn't seem right to just say the words, as true as the words are. Sing like never before. So these are some of the reasons I think we should sing together and worship joyfully. Some help for the musically challenged. I don't mean here if you like have a hard time carrying a tune, but you want to. I mean people that just feel like, I'm not all that into music. Here's some of my challenge for you. Number one, have you tried it? Have you given it a try? If you say, I'm just not a music person, I don't get into music that much. That's my first question. Have you tried it? I mean, we try to feed our kids different foods, vegetables and stuff like that. They look at it and they say, I don't want that. And we say, it actually tastes good. Why don't you try it first? And that battle is so huge. Will you try it with them? Because sometimes they try it and they still don't like it. Sometimes they try it and they're like, this is actually good. So that's challenge number one. Why don't you give it a try? Why don't you actually engage in music and singing? Now, some of that may be things that we can help with by singing songs that are easy to sing, and maybe even by getting copies of the songs to you. I've been thinking even just last night and this morning about how can we do that. And maybe I'll talk with Shane this week about getting a playlist on our website where if you want to hear and listen to the songs that we sing on Sunday mornings, you could download those and play them in your car, or if you don't know how to do that, we could try to help you out and figure out how to do that or do it for you somehow. So you could sing these songs together in your car and you could get to know them. And I think one of the greatest things about what I get to do during the week as we plan out our worship services, I know what songs we're singing for a couple days ahead of time, and I'm singing them. A lot of times I'll find myself singing the songs Thursday, Friday, Saturday to myself, and then we get to come in Sunday morning, and we get to sing them together, and it's that much more exciting for me. And I was just thinking about how can we replicate that for you guys so that you have an idea, maybe at least let you know one song that we're going to be singing on a Sunday so that you can know it and have it in your mind and be excited to come together and sing that song. So help for the musically challenged, give it a try. If you feel like you can't sing, sing anyway because God commands you to do it, because it's for your joy and because you will bless people around you. You say, well, I can't carry a tune. How's that going to be a blessing for them? If they hear you trying, I guarantee you that will be a 10 times greater encouragement than it would be that if you had this magical voice and they just stood behind you and sang. Okay, it's somebody that is a good singer and they love to sing. That's what we expect them to do. But man, give it a try. So the last part, a vision for a joyful singing church. If we could accomplish this, what I'm talking about here today, if we can do what Psalm 96 says, sing to the Lord all the earth, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day as we come together and sing, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. There's evangelism in that. There's missions in that. There's ministry and life change. All of these things, fellowship, particularly centering around worship, all of these things are happening together when we sing. And when we have guests that walk in on Sunday mornings and they're just here to worship with us maybe one time because they're visiting from out of town, visiting family from out of town. Maybe there's somebody who's going around looking for a church to attend. And they come in What if they were to come in during our music time and see people kind of standing with their arms crossed, just barely energetically mouthing the words, and Shane's up here and the band, they're up here trying with all their energy to get the congregation to engage, and we just seem uninterested. It brings a real sense of deadness to the room. Like God's Holy Spirit is trying to work and he wants to work and he's running up against a brick wall of just hard-headed people. Or what if we come in here and maybe all the voices aren't in perfect harmony and maybe we can't clap on beat very well and maybe there's all kinds of things, but who cares about all that? They are going to town and worshiping, and none of that matters. It doesn't matter if we have a full band or just somebody up here with a guitar. You would worship just as well with that. It doesn't matter if we had a different style of music. You would be excited, and you would come to worship with that as well. You have just got to find an outlet to praise God during your week. You've had all week. You want to praise him, and you get to come together with God's people. And whether it's singing hymns and traditional music or new music or drums or no drums or guitar or acoustic or electric or songs that you know versus songs that may be a little bit newer for you, that's only the avenue. Your heart is intent on worshiping. And what a great time to express it than when we're singing corporately together. When people enter the room, when you are here and present, you can sense God moving among his people when that is happening. That's something very subjective, but it's something that I have witnessed personally. When you go to a church or a conference or event or something, and man, people have forgotten about everything else, but the glory of the Lord that's right in front of their minds as they stand before his throne corporately, gathered together, singing about his greatness and his praises. God's free to work. He's free to give us joy. And we can do it together. We can be a church like that together. And I think we already are in some ways, and here's where my challenge to you is, let's raise the game. Sing louder. Forget about distractions. Come in here ready and anticipating what God is going to do with you through worship music. That's why God commands us to sing, because it's for our good and for his glory. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for giving us the gift of music. Not monotone voices and ears that can't hear harmonies and melodies and our favorite songs. God, but that you gave us a range of hearing, different tones, different sounds, different instruments, different voices, all for your glory and for our joy. God, we would have nothing to sing about if it wasn't for the cross. We would have every reason to cross our arms and to have joyless faces if we remained in our sin. But you have rescued. Horse and its driver, you have hurled into the sea. You have done an incredible work of deliverance in us, in our lives, because you've given us Jesus. You've allowed us to give him our lives as Lord and Savior. You have given us the new birth by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you are transforming our lives to be more like Christ every day. We have so much to be joyful and thankful about, and I pray that you would help us to give expression of that, to say it out loud together when we're here. God, help us to worship now, even in our last song together. In Jesus' name, amen.